Thanks a lot for being here, everybody. This is our success training, and today we're going to talk about how parents can support their kids and not rescue their kids. So this builds strong, capable kids. I'm pleased to have Senior Master Sanborn with me today.
Yes.
Mr. Fleet might be joining us a little later. Thank you, ma'am, for being here.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so let's talk again about what this topic is. This follows up on our topic from last time, which was when we had when you're have adult kids and how to set boundaries. Everything we do goes around our charter, a highly disciplined martial arts school. That's going to tie into what we do today, but it's also going to tie into the concept of constant growth. And if we rescue our kids all the time, then they're not going to get a they don't have a way to grow. So just like trees, so strong trees are going to grow strong because they have some wind and some things fighting them and some conflict. If you grow a tree in a perfectly safe environment, it doesn't grow very strong. And that's how kids are. So let's talk about what we talked about last time about, and Senior Master, you can add on to this about the idea that as kids get older, our ability to control their behavior goes down, which is what we call authority. And our ability in our Not our ability, but our responsibility also goes down. When they're infants, we've got to take care of everything. We got to take care of feeding them, or they die. I mean, they literally their everything in their life is up to us. So we have ultimate responsibility, but we also have ultimate authority because we can pick them up and push them where we want to go, and give them food when it's ready, and all that. They don't really control much. They control a little bit because they'll. We got to change their diapers when they, poop their diapers. But pretty much everything they do is under our control. And then as time goes on and they become adults, we have very little control. We often feel like we have a lot more responsibility. I think the responsibility curve, how we feel, probably goes like this. We feel like we're responsible for them as adults, but really the responsibility is down here. But we're going to talk today about this middle area from child and adolescent, where we do have a lot of responsibility and we still have a lot of authority. And when we talk about the common term is helicopter parents, where parents cover every, they take care of everything. They hover over their kids, and if something goes wrong, they take care of it, or they help them, they help them, they help them. If their kid's having a little bit of challenge, they try to fix the challenge and they try to resolve it for them. And that's a mistake in understanding we still have authority, but our responsibility is less as they get older. Our responsibility to do everything, and we actually have a responsibility to make sure they are challenged and that they do get to the edge of failure, and they do get to these growth boundaries that they won't get to if they don't have to figure stuff out on their own, deal with things that are problems. Senior Master, you want to expand on that, or what you've noticed with parents that maybe don't do that they take care of everything for them versus parents that allow their kids to have some challenges?
But what that brought up to me is even in class where we've got the parent waiting area, the parents are totally separate from the kids. It's not like they're standing next to them. They're not been invited to help their kid in any way while we're doing class, but they're yelling out, kick higher or do something that as the instructors, we're going to fix that. We're going to take care of it. So there's already somebody in charge of that behavior, but they can't resist from all the way across the room, yelling out something that just throws the kid off because they don't know who to watch then. So it's the opposite of helping their kid, it's confusing the child. Where do I look? Who do I pay attention to? Who am I supposed to learn from? Mom and dad, they're the all, the end all be all. They are the ones in control of my life, but they put me in here to learn from this person. But now they want to do the teaching themselves.
And part of the challenge, or part of the growth process for a child, is to learn from somebody else. and to be able to pay attention and focus, which is ironically why a lot of parents bring their kids to us, because they want them to pay attention and focus. That's one of the major things that we have parents want out of our program. And yet, when they're in class and maybe they're not paying attention great, but it's our job. We're going to take care of that for them. And in the same process, the child will learn about paying attention, and they'll learn who to focus on. And they're almost parents. It sounds a little harsh, but parents are almost stealing that capacity from their kid. They're stealing the opportunity for their kid to develop and grow and learn to be challenged in that way, even if it's the paying attention way.
Yes.
Would you say what are some parents that you've noticed let their kid have a lot of leeway? I can think of a couple examples, but they let their kid do stuff and actually fail, support them when needed, but allow them to have some boundaries that are going to be more healthy.
Yeah, testing or something is coming up, and they're like, hey, you're responsible for this. You're supposed to be practicing. You were in charge of learning this. You should have asked for help if you needed help. And they just let it happen versus the ones that are like, oh my gosh, are they going to be ready? What do we have to do to get them ready? They're asking rather than having their child take the responsibility of being where they need to be in regards to what's going on. So the ones that just kind of let them fail and they get to that point and they're like, hey, you know what? What do you have to do now? And they're looking at the kid, asking the kid. They're not even asking me, which is great. They're asking their kid, you're supposed to be testing. What do you have to do to be ready? Do you know what the requirements are? I do. I'm the parent. I've read all the paperwork. I've got the book. I've looked at the poster. I've watched your class. I know exactly what you're supposed to know. Do you know? What are you going to do about it?
And that can be when the child's 3 or 4 years old too.
Yes.
Imagine your kid can figure that out, or you support them in figuring that out when they're 3 and 4, and how powerful they're going to be when they're an adult.
Yes.
Yeah, one thing I was thinking about as you said that is, here's the responsibility line, and the type of responsibility changes. Over here, your responsibility is, it's genuinely to do the things for them. You've got to change their diapers. You got to, help them get in the car. You've got to, but pretty soon after that, what if they got in the car and figured out how to climb into the car themselves? So it's still my responsibility. I'm still there in case they fall, in case they move. But if I can get them to do that themselves sooner, then they're learning that they're capable of that. They might be capable of something else. They might be capable of something else. And these things build. So we have a different kind of responsibility. There's a shift from responsibility to do everything to responsibility to really not do as any more than is necessary.
And I thought of it as independence with safety. They have those responsibilities. They can do those things. My job as a parent at that age is to be overlook it, make sure everything's safe, make sure there's not something dangerous happening. Is the safe, have I taught them well enough to they got to get in a car seat. Is the car seat properly safe? Is it tight enough? They got to make breakfast. Do they need a butter knife or are they going for a butcher knife? Because, hey, that's the cool looking one. My job as a parent is that, yeah, this is the one to spread your butter with, not that one. Fix your sandwich because you know how to do it. So it's independence, but independence with safety was
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to say it. I love that. And it's also not our job to give them the choice of the steak knife and the butter knife and then see if they're going to cut themselves. That wouldn't make sense, right? Nobody would do that. But I think we often fall the other side where I better take care of it. And I understand why we do this. I think people are very critical of parents nowadays. But if you think about this graph over here, that's why I like this concept. Over here, you really did have to do everything for them. So it's hard to get out of that habit. When we talked about it last time, we talked about as adults where somebody has a 25-year-old kid and they're still living at home and they haven't gone to college, they don't have a job, they don't have something. And at some point, the parent allowed that, but then they're frustrated that their child doesn't do anything and they think they've got to kind of change things. But it's a different phase. But I feel like, if I feel like I've got to take responsibility to take care of stuff for them, and that feeling doesn't change, then you're in a tough space. You're not realizing what you need to do because you thought responsibility from back here, which was to do everything for them, is the same as responsibility here, which is to do just enough and support them, which for here is to, as adolescents, it's even less that you have to do. They may get their own books at school. They may do, take care of their own homework. They don't need to be reminded about stuff, and then so on. So it changes. We still have a responsibility, but the form of the responsibility changes in this intermediate time, I think. I was thinking of another example, Master Sanborn. I think was thinking of Miss Linnae, our famous Miss Linnae, who's getting black belt,
He's
and
so
she
funny.
came in with she's one of my favorite people in the world. She came in with a lot of challenges, physical challenges. And how did her parents respond to coming in with these big physical challenges and then let her succeed or fail?
They just sit back and watch from the very beginning. They did not give me limitations even on what she could do. They didn't say, okay, now she's not going to be able to do this because of that. She's not going to be able to do this because of that. I had no limitations on what I could teach her and what I could ask of her. And but there were lots of conversations with them about, okay, is surgery coming up? Is this going to happen? But they were just thrilled to just watch and it let us lead her on to new things to the point where she is now doing things that I didn't think she could do. And now she's not allowed to get away with anything because, yeah, she was pushing that limit a little bit.
Well,
But
I think when kids have challenges, and all kids have challenges, but this was very severe, potentially life-threatening challenges, and
yes.
her parents, instead of going, well, we better protect. Of course, we have a job to protect, but that protection is limited. Instead of protecting where they didn't need to, they let her grow.
Yes.
Yeah. And in my example, that's also when my son was, I was in martial arts for 20 years before my son was born, and or maybe 15 years or so before my son was born. And then he was born and he is diagnosed with autism. And of course, the story, but for the people listening, when he was three, we start kids at three. When he was three, I thought, well, gee, he's got this challenge. Should I start him in martial arts? Would that be a good idea to start him in martial arts? And I hesitated. Even the one that's the, own the school and been the instructor and said all these things about kids. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm a hypocrite if I don't put him in classes. Now, he couldn't even speak until he was around 4 years old. And I always say the first words he learned was "Hi-yah." And that's largely true. So I even was challenged with that, but I had to make a very uncomfortable decision that I was going to risk him failing, risk maybe looking bad, even risk me looking bad because it's my kid and he's in the class and I'm, going to be showing off. So let's talk about how to kind of deal with this and how to know the difference between helping them with independence and still being careful with their safety.
Sure.
So I think this is a good starting point. So let's talk about boundaries, because really, when we talk about rules, I think understanding the boundaries we have is a different framework for that allows us to support our kids and not rescue them. So, what are the boundaries? So, a myth about a boundary is I'm setting a rule or doing something to try to change their behavior. So, in other words, sometimes you do have a rule where, they're not allowed to eat cookies before dinner. That's the rule. Now, they might sneak a cookie. That may not change their behavior. They might do something that you didn't expect to have happen. And then boundaries also include tolerating the problems with it and maybe the consequences of having to of dealing with it. So the reality of the, even setting that rule is letting them know they can't have cookies before dinner, making sure there's a clear statement, and rules are going to be more strict when they're younger. And as they get older, the rules have to be more in terms of what your availability is, what you're willing to do, when they can drive the car, when they can do stuff. And then if they don't follow those rules, you know, what's going to happen? So with younger kids, we get, I think one of the reasons that we have challenges when they get older is because we set up rules, 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 and instead of just what our behavior is going to be, here's what we are, this is what we're going to do in the house. We're going to help you with this much. We're going to pay for this. We're going to do this. And then you've got to deal with it yourself, whatever happens. And if you don't do this, this is what happens. If you do do this, this is what happens. But a rule is more like a black and white thing that we don't give them any leeway to have any choice or fail. So that's maybe the difference in helping people with the difference in responsibility. Responsibility when they're young is I'm doing everything for them. Responsibility when they get older is some rules that are set up and what they have to follow. And responsibility when they get older as a parent is to set up some boundaries that they need to follow. If they don't follow them, there's some natural consequences. Because that's how real life works. So it's about supporting them, but not fixing the problems for them. Not on one end, fixing things for them before it becomes a problem. On another, and wait till they fail and then punish them.
Yes.
They're learning that the consequences of not following the boundaries or not doing the thing that they're doing, or, you know, if they're in karate and they don't, you mentioned testing, if they don't do well at testing and they kind of feel bad because they didn't do well. Okay. Are they going to do something about it? Or is that how they're going to be okay with and having them deal with that consequence? And for all of us, that's what real life is. In real life, you know, maybe you don't do well and you don't feel good about it. So you're going to do something about it, or are you going to, maybe you need to accept that, or maybe not. What are you going to do? How are you going to change things?
And it's teaching them to make decisions for themselves. Whether they decided to do the thing they were supposed to and everything went fine, or they decided not to do the thing they were supposed to and there's consequences, or they decided to do something completely wrong and again there's consequences. It teaches them that, all right, I made the decision to do this, therefore this happened. I decided to do this, therefore this happened. Okay, so now we have to decide and help them figure out what could have been a better way to go about it. Obviously, I wanted you to do exactly what I wanted you to do. You opted against that. Here's your consequences.
Well, and it's not even what you're talking about is consequences that they experience based on what they did. So they
Yes.
did something or didn't do something. They, you know, if it was, let's say they're in elementary school or junior high and they're supposed to do homework and they didn't do the homework, right? So is our responsibility to remind them to do the homework 15 times or help them and do the homework with them? Or is it to let them know that our expectation is that you schedule time to do your homework? And you know, you're not gonna not go to dinner, not make it to dinner, not do a family activity because you're busy doing homework unless you gave us prior notice. So is that expectation that they have to do their homework and manage their time? Well, if the expectation is yes, some kids need some help getting to that point. But if that's the expectation, then the consequence of them not following it is what? Well, they didn't do well in school, they got a bad grade. Okay, can we as parents tolerate that they got a bad grade so that they learn about the consequences and of their actions? And that's what responsibility is, consequences of my actions.
Yes.
Responsibility isn't my parent told me to do it and I got reminded 45 times and then I did it. And then we're not teaching the kids those the right messages, if that's the case. I would push back a little bit on the idea that they're always going to make choices. I think when kids are younger into their teens and even up till they're 18, some of the choices we need to make for them. We talk to parents all the time about, you know, if they say, well, See if my kid wants to do this or wants to do that. Say, well, what do you want for your kid? Do you want them to develop? Well, they might say something like, I want them to learn Mandarin. But I want to see if my kid wants to do that. Well, I
Oh,
promise
yeah.
you, every kid in the middle of learning Mandarin is going to feel like not doing that for a while. And then they're going to feel like doing it. And then they're going to feel like not doing it. Parents have to make choices and then have the kid, maybe they fail, maybe they don't, maybe they fail, maybe they don't, and support them through that. So the end goal, the end result is that your kid learned an amazing skill. Kids will never learn amazing skills by making their own choices. It's within those big choices that we make as parents, that going to school, when they're in martial arts, learning a language like that's a great example. They're never going to make really significant growth unless parents make choices for them, and then the kids learn how to handle all the things that have to happen in the middle. So let's wrap
Yeah.
up. Talk about when we do set a boundary. One of the challenges is, first of all, it's naming what the boundary is or naming what the rule is. Holding the boundary, when they test it, they go get the cookie, they do something, and it may feel like, oh, I'm being a mean parent, or we hear the words, oh, I don't want to push my kid. Then you're off the hook from setting the boundary or setting the rule. And that's not going to help your kid in the end. We have to be able to tolerate the consequences or the outcome. Maybe you made sure they had to learn to do the homework themselves and they didn't, and they got a C. Oh my gosh, is that the end of the world? If you can't stand that, if you can't tolerate that, then guess what? You're going to end up helping them with their homework. And they're not going to learn anything, and they're not going to learn how to do more important things like manage their time, which is what makes people successful as adults versus whatever the grade that they may or may not have gotten. So these three things I think are really important. Being able to be very clear about what they're doing, being able to, hold true to whatever that thing is they're supposed to do, not helping them with their homework, for example, and then tolerate the outcome. Most parents have the trouble that when, oh my gosh, if I don't do this, they're gonna maybe fail. They're not gonna get a good grade. Oh, maybe they won't do well. And then they won't tolerate the doing it. They won't even set the goal because what happens if the outcome is bad? And we have to allow for some of those outcomes, otherwise they won't grow. So healthy parenting, if you do this, then you're less stressed about your relationship with your kid. You're setting less rules and less boundaries, and then the kid has to have the consequences happen based on that. And then it's not We have to be able to live with not perfect outcomes. We have to be able to live with our kids not being happy with us and not being, oh, I'm so grateful that you made me learn Mandarin. I'm so happy. Even when they're adults, they may go get a job where they're speaking Mandarin all the time, and they you'd expect them to come to you and go, thank you, Senior Master Sanborn, for teaching me this. And they go, no, they're not gonna, we don't expect that. And don't expect them not to struggle. Don't expect them not to struggle is very important. Anything to add there before we go on, kind of and
Whether or not you decide the consequences, punishment is where part of it is. Okay, so if you're not going to do what I want you to do, then I'm going to do this to you, whether it's take away something or something doesn't happen, as opposed to something that's directly related to the choice they made. How do I come up with a proper punishment for that if they don't do it? How do I, what's an appropriate one for a discipline on that because they didn't do it? Am I going overboard if I tell them now they don't get to watch TV for a week or things like that? So it's a hard thing to figure that out, but it needs to be such a case where the child makes the decision to do or not to do. And you're there to support them and help them if they say, hey, I can't do that by myself. Okay, great. Let's see what I need to do to help you with it because you asked for help, not me jumping in to fix for you.
And I think a problem with fixed is sometimes kids are, we get caught up in kids complaining. I remember my son wanted, when he was like four, we're taking him to swimming lessons. And I mean, I he had to learn how to swim. I don't want him to drown. I mean, that was like a big deal. And but yet he would a couple times he was like, "No, I don't want to go." And he's like throwing a fit. And he was just being kind of nuts about it. And here's the answer in that. I had to be able to tolerate, and I was proud of myself later thinking about it. In this one case, I certainly failed many many other times. But, you know, he's throwing a fit and he was throwing a fit. I said, "Okay, well, we got to go." "Yeah, but I don't want to go swimming. I don't want to go swimming today." "Oh, I get that you don't want to go swimming. Let's get in the car. We got to go." And why was I able to tolerate it? Because whenever, even regardless of whether he threw a fit, and he was really screaming and causing being a pain, it was irrelevant. As we teach parents a lot, less talking, less emotion. To me, it was irrelevant. Because in my mind, I know, well, he has to learn how to swim. There's not like anything here. This is part of what's going to happen. You're going to learn how to swim. So I had to tolerate the consequence of him being a pain about it because the outcome was really important. Now, he's never said once, "Oh, I'm so glad." He's 24 now. He's never once said, "Oh, Dad, I'm so glad that you made me go swimming that day, that I really was a pain in the butt." He never said that, and I don't expect him to say that, and I'm not, you know, so don't expect thanks. Don't expect gratitude. So let's wrap up here. The idea here is you restraining from fixing is how you show care and love and support for your kid. That's you, me being there when my kid was throwing a fit and he didn't want to go swimming was how I showed I cared for him. I was willing to put up with that and not yell at him. I didn't yell at him. I didn't do anything. We're going, you know, and that was the end of it. Except it was the end of it. He kept being a pain in the butt, but we still went. He still went swimming. At the end of swimming, he was fine, but maybe he wouldn't have been. I still had to live with that and tolerate it.
Yes.
And so one thing we always talk about, if you're a black belt, when you get to black belt, it's never because you didn't fail sometime. It never because you didn't fall. You always had challenges. That's why we believe black belt's such a big deal, because it is hard. And because it is a challenge. And parents, you've got to be able to accept that the outcome where sometimes they feel like, "Oh, I don't feel like doing it," or "I don't feel like doing this," or maybe they didn't do as good as another kid, or maybe they didn't something. And that's how they grow and that's how they become successful. So, anything else to wrap up with, Master Sanborn? I know you've got
No,
people on board.
that was good for me. I'm teaching kids to make decisions for themselves, giving them independence. They're just stronger as adults that way. And your life is better later anyway, if you're
Your
not
life will be
hovering.
better. Yeah, and if you handle it this way, not hovering, not rescuing every time, it's much less stressful for you. It has the benefit of number one, being the best way to support your kid. Number two, your life is a lot better. So let's kind of finish with that. Thank you very much, Senior Master. As always, I really appreciate all the help and support and how much you help the other families
Thank
and the people in the school. Thank you.